Can you hear the music?
Oh yeah, dude. I love it.
Oh fuck yeah. Not a lot of people can hear it. I had this mate.
Oh, you, this is like, this is a price game for you? That's dope, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had we used a, sorry, I'm riffing
too. It's all good. It's all good, man. You had what?
Oh, so we had just one of those, you know, unlicensed sounds that we ended up buying, and hopefully the guy who made it doesn't sue us one day if we get too big.
Well, oh, shit. Here's the hoping. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that, you know, intro, outro music there. You know, you can find that guy everywhere on the socials, man. You should reach out to him. He's incredible.
Yeah, dude, send me his link, because we're thinking about redoing the whole intro, outro of the show that we do. So yeah, send it to me.
Yeah, I definitely will, man. He's an incredible human being, man. And you know, you can find him everywhere on the socials, like Instagram and YouTube, and he's everywhere you need to be. He's a small creator. He doesn't care about, you know, he's just jamming on his guitar and putting out riffs and stuff, and that's all he cares about. So
I'm big on authenticity. I couldn't give a crap about the size of somebody's following. Like, if you're unapologetically yourself, like,
hell yeah,
my jam.
Hell yeah, man. And same, you know, like a lot of people that have reached out to me to be like, hey, can I come on your podcast someday? You know, like, I don't have a big following, but like, you know, and I'm like, you don't need a big following, man. You know, like, I don't care about that. You know, the Leanna, she was on the podcast. I think she maybe has 400 followers on Instagram, and that's about it. And she was one of my favorite guests I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, she's amazing.
That's how I said, like, it's a weird world we live in that, like, people kind of judge your worth if you put out any kind of content based off the amount of, like, followers or subscribers. When in reality, post COVID, like, I mean, people just gained thousands upon hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers, because everybody was sitting at home on their phone.
Yeah.
And now it's a lot harder to gain some of those following. And so I never really, same thing. Like, people are like, oh, and I'm an influencer. I'm like, okay, well, we're not going to be friends, because you just called yourself an influencer.
You know, what's crazy though, is that, like you said, right, so many people gained so much during the pandemic. Right. And like, man, it was wild, because I feel like I've grown more after. Right. And it's been a lot of fun.
I'm telling you, dude. That's my biggest thing that I tell everybody on social media is, especially post pandemic, everyone's tired of the fake. Everybody's tired of the dancing. Everybody's tired of the gimmicks and the trends. They want to see people. They want to see authenticity. When it comes to brands, they want to see who's behind the brand. They don't give a crap how good you think your product is. They want to see who's making it. So
yeah, absolutely, man. And what you said about, like, you know, too many people put a value on that number behind your name.
Yeah,
a lot of companies are like that too. A lot of companies. I have a sponsor, and I'm not gonna shit on them for it, but like, I have a sponsor or a company that backs me or whatever they want to call it. I have not as many followers as another guy that they sponsor, and they sent that dude a fucking Christmas present.
Yeah,
what the fuck, man? You know, like.
Like, hey, what am I? But ouch, yeah, man. It's social media marketing is a whole big thing. I mean, like, if you'd have asked me 2.5 years ago if I'd be involved in social media and like run social media marketing for another company I work for, like, I'd laugh at you. Like, yeah. No way. But like, social media marketing, things like that is like, there's big brands that are realizing that you don't have, it's not all about just like the sales gimmicks anymore. Like, you want to see some weird shit? Go look at Sour Patch Kids and Nutter Butter's TikTok accounts. Maybe, you know, don't do it while you're tripping on something, because then you're going to probably lose your mind. They're weird, yeah. But it's kind of weird what sells now and what doesn't. Like, nobody wants to sit there and watch a product review as much as they just want to see something funny, or they want to see something like, you know, like me and my buddy, we run a beard care company. He started it. I help him a lot on social media. dude, we sell something called ball wash. It's a pH balance wash.
Yeah, you do.
For your balls. We make the stupidest content about washing your balls and it sells because we're just like, yeah, it's basically nut scrub. It washes your balls and it makes them feel all fresh and clean.
A guy named Dick needs some ball wash.
Dude, you need to send me your address. I'll send you a whole like, dude, we got mustache wax. We got beard oils. We got deodorant. Dude, I'll send you a whole pack.
Fuck, so, man. I guess I should introduce who you are. Yeah, we haven't done
that yet. But 5 minutes already. So.
Hey, fuck, man. We don't have to like, hey, you know what? We'll end the show by introducing you. Sure. Anyways, on this week's episode of the podcast, we got Logan, co-host of the Dad Bods and Beards podcast. What's up, man?
Dude, I'm doing good. How are you? I feel bad that we've played tag for a month trying to get on the show, but
dude, we're both busy. You're busy, I'm busy. I think the last time we tried to link up, your daughter was puking everywhere. Yeah, you know, like it's
my boy, dude. He's 6 and he got my gene, dude. It's just like I don't have a weak stomach, but when it comes time for stuff to come up, it comes up violent. And he just,
yep.
That's right. I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. Hold on. Kid puking all over the carpet. And it was just like, you know, busting out
the carpet. That's coming out the other end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I got a 6-year-old too. She's almost 7 and I got a 4-year-old. I understand that, man. It don't matter to me.
Yeah. We got an 8-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son. And that's about all we can afford these days. So I think we're done.
Yeah, man. We were right there. We were gonna try for another one at one point, and now it's kind of like maybe we should pull the plug on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's also too, man. It's like the older they get, and then it's like you kind of have that anxiety of like the age gap because my kids are 22 months apart, and it's real fun. Like we're right at that perfect stage for we go to Disneyland. We don't need a stroller. We don't need a diaper bag. I loved having the babies. I loved having the tiny little nugget. But it's just a whole different, you know, it's like, hey, now we got to, you know, if we put a bun in the oven now, that's a 7-year gap between the youngest.
You're and refinancing your future too. Right?
Yeah. Dude, I mean, like right now, I mean, I'll be 35 in a couple months and my youngest is 6. Like, you know, I'm going to be late 40s, early 50s when they're up and doing their own thing. And it's like,
yeah,
wife, we got a whole nother side of the life to experience. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, we had 12 years before we had kids, just us. And now, you know, our kids are 7 and 4. When's your birthday? You said in a couple months you'll be 30.
December. Yeah, December.
I'll be 36 in February.
Nice.
I'm right there with you, man.
You're 88.
Midlife crisis will come. 89.
Yeah. Oh, 89. So you're beginning of 89, mine end of 89. So there you go. But
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So, man, I was pretty excited, you know, to get you on because, you know, you have your own podcast with, I think his name's Tyler, right?
Tyson. Yeah.
Tyson. Wow. I fucked that one right up.
Hey, I mean, you started out right. So you're good.
I started with a T-Y.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You got a podcast with Tyson. You guys are phenomenal podcast, by the way. You know, I've listened to a few episodes and I've got a few queued up that I want to go to. And then, you know, you're blue collar as well, you know,
yeah.
And that's huge. And you spent time in Alberta.
Yeah, dude, two years. I grew up Mormon, went on a mission. That was way back. That was a whole different life, man. Like I said, not haven't been for a while, but, yeah, dude, I was in Alberta, Southern Alberta, Eastern BC for a while, dude. I tell my wife all the time, I was like, if it ever goes to shit down here, we're going straight north. I was
it's going to shit up here. So,
well, it doesn't matter. You can hide a lot better up where you guys are at. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I know some people and I know some places where we could disappear. So
hell yeah. Hell so. Yeah, man. No, that's it. There's a lot of uninhabited land up in these parts, you know, like
dude, I was in Sparwood, BC for like,
oh yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I freaking loved it there. 2,600 people, middle of the mountains. Everybody there claims that they saw Bigfoot. I'm like, I could live here forever. So
home of the world's largest dump truck or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big haul truck, the big Widowmaker. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You should see some of the size of the ones that are up here where I am right now, man.
Yeah. Dude, I did a mine tour of the coal mine when I was up there, and it's like, I mean, I do excavation now. My brother and I do excavation, and it's just like you know, the hose and stuff that we've got seems so small still in comparison. I mean, they're full size. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're full size track hose. And, but it's just like, we got some big mines out here in Utah too. And it's just like nothing compared to the size of what you guys deal with.
You're in Salt Lake, aren't you?
South of Salt Lake. Yeah. Not Happy Valley, not down there by BYU and stuff, but more west, where all the where all of us Californians moved to when we fled that state. So
Salt Lake City is like one of my favorite spots, man. We road trip to Salt Lake City a couple times, and we went to the Great Salt Lake, which is the saltiest body of water outside the Dead Sea.
You can't sink. You can literally just
float. And then we drove like the half hour, whatever it is, to the salt flats. We drove, our vehicle was brand new at the time. We drove it on the salt flats. Turns out if it looks like salt and smells like salt, it's definitely going to taste like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we went another 25 minutes into Nevada, and we went to West Wendover, mm-hmm. Nevada, where you can see the natural curvature of the earth. That's badass.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of nothing. There's a whole lot of nothing between Salt Lake and Wendover for about 2.5 hours. But the Bonneville Speedway, where they do all like the land speed records, is out there. It's flat as hell. Yeah, dude, if you ever come back down to Salt Lake area, we got to go. We just got a hockey team, Utah Hockey Club.
The Utah HC. Yeah.
Got those guys.
Jordan Eberle is the Seattle Kraken is Jordan Eberle. But yeah, you guys got the Utah HC. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's exciting because, I mean, I kind of followed the Flames for a little while after I got home from Calgary. But then, you know, getting the Arizona guys up here in Utah is like, you know, I'm a diehard 49ers fan as far as NFL. So everyone's like, oh, we need an NFL team. I'm like, I don't care. Like, you're not going to get me there. But, hey, Utah Hockey Club all day. It's kind of cool to kind of like be here when a whole new team shows up, right? To like, I got my boy. Like, hey. This will be cool, like start a new tradition. Like, hey, he and I can become fans of this together at the same time. So it'd be cool.
Yeah, man, I'm a big Toronto Maple Leaf fan. And, oh, yeah. And I live in Edmonton. And, you know, as far as football goes, I guess recently, and it's not because of Taylor Swift, I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs guy.
Oh, yeah, he can't be friends now. I mean, I don't know if you can see this, but I got a signed Steve Young hat right there.
That's pretty cool.
I'm a diehard, and like Chiefs is like a curse.
Yeah, it sure is. I watched the playoffs a couple times to know that it's, you know, I like the Kelce Brothers podcast. I'm a little jealous of it, to be honest with you, but
dude, New Heights is that's one of my like favorites / inspiration podcasts, right? Like we've riffed a lot of like kind of taking what they do and it works really well.
Hell yeah, man. So speaking of podcasts, right, you guys got the Dad Bods and Beards podcast. Like, how'd you go from just, you know, operating hose and whatnot to, you know, hey, let's start a podcast and let's call it the Dad Bods and Beards. And we'll get into some of your topics, but like the how and why behind it, you know.
Dude, it's a crazy kind of long, convoluted story of how I got to this point. But like, not to be like, well, it all started in 1989 when I was born. I'm not going to go back that far. But I've been like on and off blue collar for like a long time, right? First ever job, I worked on a chicken farm, right? And
chasing cocks around. Good job.
Oh, yeah, dude. Handled them all day long. But
grab that cock by the neck and choke it.
Hey, you know what? First part of my day, freaking 15-year-old kid. First part of my day was going around and picking up all the dead cocks because they'd fight overnight. Right? Actually, it was a bunch of meat birds. So they were all hens. They weren't even really, they weren't roosters, but no, we're not going back that far. Basically, I used to be an insurance agent. I worked for State Farm. I worked for Allstate. I worked for like Allianz, like big insurance company later down the road, did life insurance and didn't realize I was losing my mind. Like I was diagnosed bipolar and, in 2017, but I'd been dealing with for a long time. So my brother living out here in Utah, well, he owned a construction company where he was building spec homes, and they started a trucking company running side dumps. I don't know if you guys do side dumps much in Canada.
Yep.
So he started a side dump company, and I'd really I kind of went through some really tough battles. I was suicidal. I was just broken, right? And he's like, dude, why don't you come out here and just drive a truck and get behind the, you know, get your CDL, drive a truck. So he pretty much just kind of threw me a bone, right? Like no experience, never driven a side, you know, never driven anything, you know, with CDL before. And he's like, move out to Utah, a little bit cheaper living, something that's just, you know, you don't have to really like, don't have to sell anything. You don't got to have to sit in a freaking 8x8 cubicle all day, losing my mind. So we moved out to Utah, started doing that, and fell in love with just getting into blue collar work, dude. And then that translated into, I drove triples for UPS for a while. We can do triples out here. Freaking road trains, dude. We call those wiggle wagons. That third box is in the back slapping around. And then my brother kind of threw in the towel on building spec homes and got into straight excavation. And I jumped in with him a little over 2 years ago, and he and I, we just do commercial excavation now. And dude, I love playing in the dirt for money. It's so much better than sitting in front of a cubicle all day long. And basically that's how I got into blue collar, was just, I used it as like a mental health break. I didn't have to sell anything, but then realized that there's a whole nother stress that comes with all that. I mean, you know that. Right? You're like, you survive off of hate and caffeine, right? Basically. But along the way, started making TikToks after COVID. Started because I was like anti-TikTok, right? And I was like, okay, well, I kind of used it as like this coping mechanism and therapy mechanism of like, I'm just going to start making like things that I think are funny, some mental health jokes, kind of being a little bit more like dark humored about being bipolar, because everybody just that, like, I mean, it's, yeah, people just think that like men, especially, right, we're our own worst enemies. We think that mental health is a sign of weakness, right? We think that, oh, you can't talk about your feelings, or you're a bitch, all that stuff. So I started like, hey, I'm going to use this as like a form of therapy where I'm just going to make jokes. And it being growing up as a chubby kid, self-deprecating jokes, that's the best way to take away power from anybody that's going to like tear you down. Make the joke first. Yeah. Make the joke first, make it better. And then they got nothing to go off of. Well, it turned out
people, you're like B Rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, it turned out people actually were like relating to it, and they're like, wow, this actually helps me. So then that's kind of where like the blue collar mental health. And then obviously this is kind of a shorter beard for me. Normally I have it, you know, 8, 9, 10 inches long, and got paired up with my buddy Tyson. He runs a beard care company here in Utah. And same thing, he reached out to me. He's like, hey, you know, we started talking, and he's like, I'd love to send you some free product. I'm like, oh, what do you got? Yada, yada, yada. Find out we both live in Utah, met up at a beard competition, and they're all charity events. It's pretty legit. And he and I, we joke all the time. They're like, it's like how we met is actually pretty gay. Like we're like became super good friends instantly. Like almost like we've been friends since freaking elementary school, how closely we've become as friends. And it's weird meeting somebody you'd consider your best friend in your 30s and 40s, like somebody you'd consider a brother, right? Like, you know, I phone call
to all the time.
Oh, dude, that's what, like, I say this all the time. Blue collar is the gayest work you will ever get in, because you become so close with your buddies, and it's like you make these jokes with each other, but you kind of get in the trenches with each other, and you fight with each other, right? And you have each other's back. That's how it started with me and Tyson. Is he had some mental health struggles. He had some struggles in his family with some other mental health issues. He and I related there. We had the whole beard side of TikTok and Instagram that we related on. And we just kind of started hanging out more, talking more. And we did a couple of YouTube lives for the beard care company that it's called Copper John's. And a couple of people were like, dude, you guys are freaking funny. You guys riff really well together. You should start a podcast.
Chemistry.
And every time we would do these YouTube live events, talking about a product or talking about just an event or things like that, people are like, when are you guys going to start a podcast? So then we literally kicked that idea around for probably 6 or 8 months. And dude, some of the people that were closest to us, family, friends, are like, everybody has a podcast. Yeah. Why not? You kind of have to.
But not everybody has one. You know what I mean? You know the stats behind the podcasting game, right? How many start and how many fail before like the 15th episode, right? Or 20th episode.
On average, most podcasts will drop off within the first 10 to 15 episodes because, you know, it's a crap ton of work. It's not just hitting record and then, you know, putting it on Apple or Spotify or whatever.
And the recording part of it is the easiest part. What we're doing right now is the easiest part.
Oh, this is the fun part, right? It's the editing. 2 o'clock in the morning, you're like, why the hell am I doing this?
It's the editing, and it's the pushing out on social media, and it's the, you know, I recently started a segment on my podcast to actually help with that, right? But like, it's called The Morning Dookie, and like, it's called The Morning Dookie, and a couple times a week, I'll sit down for 10 to 15 minutes, and I'll just put out, you know, this is going to be, you know, the actual podcast itself is like an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. Most of the time around that hour, 10, hour, 15 mark. But like, you know, if for the people that don't like my short form content or want more than the short form, but don't want to listen to an hour and a half, 2 hours, The Morning Dookie is 10 to 15 minutes. Right.
Yeah.
And I discuss, you know, what's my thought of the day. I discuss, you know, we talked a little bit about the podcast that was coming out, actually dropped today. And then, you know, tomorrow we'll talk about, you know, the podcast itself. And then on Fridays, we'll talk about the coming week's podcast, right? And like, find it, and it's helped. It's helped push the views up more. It's helped push the downloads, I should say, not the views. But, you know, and man, The Morning Dookie was, it actually was by accident.
It's kind of cool when you find something that works really well, and then you kind of get this high, right? So.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of fun, man, and this is the fun part. This is the easy fun part, you know, when people hear back and they're like, "Oh man, yeah," and I'm like, "This is fun. This is easy. It's everything else that comes with it. That's a lot of work." And this will probably be episode 97, so we're
three
away from 100, man. So you know, one a week for 100 weeks, you know, that's a lot of work.
And that's the thing that everybody thinks is like, this is what would be the number one killer of podcasts, right? Is consistency, right?
Yep.
So if you tell people new episodes every Monday or new episodes whatever day it is, like if you're not doing that, like you're gonna get people like, I've got my buddy, he's a heavy mechanic up in he might be up near, I mean, I know there's a million spots up in Edmonton. I'm not going to be like, "Oh, do you know my friend?" Because that's like the typical Canadian joke.
I got a black friend that's there. You might know him, you know? my wife's part black. I can make that joke.
I'm from California, so being in Utah, I'm kind of like, where are all the black people?
You know a lot of gay people then. You know Chad from downtown LA? You know?
Funny. But yeah, no, it's like consistency and all of that stuff. Like people, my buddy who's a heavy mechanic up there, he's like, he'll text me, he'd be like, it's Monday, dude. What the heck? Where's your episode? Because like he kind of feeds off it a little bit. And we've been insanely lucky. We just dropped episode 59, and we went from recording like together in person with like little, like, you know, social media microphones, super echoey, bad audio quality. And then we started doing StreamYard. You know, we live about an hour and 20 minutes apart, me and Tyson. And then we got insanely lucky with a buddy of mine. His brother owns a podcast studio that was collaborating this whole like network of like shows. So we like went and took him to lunch, sweet talked him or whatever. And we got this killer deal where he produces our show like full in studio, and we don't pay him anything. So it's a whole sweetheart deal with like landing sponsors. But basically, whether it's your first episode, your 100th episode, or your 1,000th episode, you've got to like stay insanely consistent with it.
I'm just taking a picture for the socials, bud.
Yeah.
No, 100%. You got to be consistent, man. And mine drops every Tuesday at 4:30. I say 4:30. I say 5, but it's set for 4:30. But it just gives it that half an hour to like get out everywhere. Sometimes it needs it, right? And yeah, consistency is huge. That is legitimately like the whole game, right? And man, staying consistent, I found, has been, it's been easy. I try to stay 4 to 5 weeks ahead.
Dude, good for you.
But there's times though where it's like an episode's coming out on Tuesday and it's Sunday night and I don't have an episode yet. And this summer, I took a little bit of a break from content, and you know, I still have the podcast going, but like, even there were times where it's like, hey man, I should record. Hey, you want to record? Yeah. And it's like, then I got busy and I was just taking a step back, right? I was like 4 years into content creation now, and it's right. And it's so, yeah,
draining. Like, I'm in a slump right now too. Like, I spent 2 years, 2.5 years building like my own personal brand on social media. Started on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple of really good buddies that were like, dude, they're bigger than me. And they were like, you got to just start repurposing your stuff on Instagram, dude. Instagram, Meta,
yep,
that's where it's at. So I like blew up way faster on Instagram than I expected. And now my Instagram is way bigger than my TikTok. And that's the thing, is it's like, you almost kind of feel like it almost becomes a job at times. And I know that sounds like super like first world problems and like, oh, I'm this, you know, it's like, it's so hard being like, no, like you could, I mean, you know, like you could take a 15-second clip that took an hour and a half to make.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, right? Cause you record it 25 times and you don't get the dubbing right, or you don't get the clip right. And then you'll put, oh, this one's gonna be a killer one. Da, 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 da. 1,500 views. You're like, great, love it. Hey, I'm done.
Yeah. I made a video the other day that took me a bunch of time to get it. You were saying about playing in the dirt. I'm like, man, I went from playing in the dirt as a kid to I'm working in it.
Yeah.
I went from playing in the dirt as a kid and eating it to I'm working in it. And they still let me eat it. And the best part is I'm getting paid. And I'm like, you know, like, and yeah, man. And yeah, you know, that's fucking, I love that. And then I made one today, blue collar therapy. I don't know if you saw it or not. My boss has in the work trailer, he's got a couch. It's in his work shack, right? So he's got a couch in there. And I was like laying on the couch in my gear, like I was in therapy. And right, it's that sound that was like, you know, we could literally put anything we want on pasta.
Oh yeah.
You seen that one? You seen that sound?
Yeah.
We're still using linguine, right? Or whatever it was. And it was like blue collar therapy. And it's like, you know, we could literally hire anybody, right? Like literally anybody, right? But we keep going back, and it's like we just keep using linguine. But it's like we keep going back to the same assholes over and over. You keep rehiring them, right? And it's just like, it's like, yeah, man, all right, yeah.
And, that's the best part about social media, is you can take a sound that has nothing to do with anything, but you can make it work for you, and it's funny.
Yeah, I follow all the single moms for that reason, man, because the single moms that you. The best sounds. They have the best sound. They don't even have to be single moms. The stay-at-home moms.
No, I know exactly.
Just moms in general. Because
the Instagram moms, they have some of the funniest stuff. And like mom talk, Instagram. Dude, I follow so many of them because it's like, because then it's like, and then it almost makes it too easy. Kind of like doing like blue collar and like dad stuff or whatever. I'm like, you can almost just change a couple of the words. And that's the biggest thing with social media is. For a while, dude, everybody gets so bent out of shape. Like, oh, you stole my content. Content is just constant repurposing and recycling. And to me, people have like taken a sound that like an original sound that I created. Like I had one, every year and a half, I'll shave my beard completely off and we make it a whole big thing. Yep. Dude, I'm not kidding. We did it for the beard company and it did like 150 million views across a bunch of different platforms. It was nuts.
Did it translate into sales at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we do. We do it for the beard care company. And then obviously you get some view count dollars and things like that with the platforms. But this last, not this last time, but the one before it was the first time I'd ever done like a big shave off. My beard was like 9 inches long. It was super. I mean, you can see it gets pretty thick. But the girl started shaving it and I just was like, why are you going so fast? And I was like, give me some time to process. And dude, that sound like took off. It was like popular in like horse barrel racing side of TikTok. And it was like, so I love it when people will like take an idea and they'll like repurpose it or they'll stitch this or they'll remix it or whatever. Cause it's just, if anything, it just pushes you farther. People want to see where's the original idea.
Yeah.
Where's the original sound? Where's the original content? It's all fun, you know?
I think my one video on Instagram there, it was my original sound, and I think it's been that sound was used 120,000 times.
It's crazy, right? What? It's crazy when it goes viral. What? It doesn't even feel real.
And it's been people still use it. It's been 2 years, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just every now and then I'll get another one. And then, you know, for the longest time, it was the first couple months, but like, you know, every now and then you get another one. But yeah, man, it's silly. It's silly, man. We're a bunch of grown men, middle-aged men, just having all this fun.
Yeah. But this is the side, the real side of it is there's a bunch of middle-aged men that they'll like live vicariously through the phone, like through you, right?
Yeah.
They'll relate to you. Yeah. They'll feel like you're their friend. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because one of the biggest things that we talk about on our podcast with Dad Bods and Beards is like male camaraderie, male solidarity. Like guys don't, we say this all the time, like guys have, like men have a lot of space in this world, right? I'm like, I'm not going to pretend like, you know, like I'm not going to get all woke on you or whatever, but like we don't have a lot of healthy space, and a lot of that is our fault, right? And we tell each other to shut up. We tell each other, you know, rub dirt and whatever. And a big thing that we talk about is that you can be both. You can be the tough, badass, hardworking dad, but you can also be the guy that can talk to your friends. You can go to therapy. You can go to a psychiatrist. You can get medication. You can do what you need to do to keep yourself from killing yourself. And not to get too heavy too quick, but that's what we talk about. And that's why we put out the content we do, is because, dude, guys will like live for it. Like literally, like they'll say, hey, we've gotten messages of like, hey man, I love this stuff. I love to meet you guys, or like whatever. And it's, those are the ones that like, this is why you keep doing it, because you got like,
hell
that.
Oh yeah, man.
I mean, I know you could probably think off the top of your head, 4 or 5 guys that are like just consistently either in your comment section, or they're sending you DMs. They're saying, hey, I love this shit. This is super funny or whatever. Yeah. I guarantee you, being blue collar, especially working in Edmonton, when it gets dark and cold, like I know that it does, there's days where, dude, a freaking laugh is all you need. And I've had those days where a laugh turned into a cry, and then you like, it made you sit there in silence for a few minutes and like think about everything.
Then,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like when you're like, hey, I love to get you on the show. And I'm like, that's one thing Tyson and I agree to, of like, anytime someone's like, hey, we want to get you on our show, no doubt. Like we're going to go do it, because it's just one more chance to be like, there's a lot of big,
push that message.
Yeah. There's a lot of big, tough dudes out here that are not peacocking, telling you like, hey, don't talk about that. No. Talk about it, because, you know, male suicide rate is through the roof, and it's because we don't talk about it. Right.
Yep. Yep. Well, and speaking of that, we should have brought it up earlier, but speaking of that, now's a good time to talk about one of our new sponsors on the podcast, right? And you know, I punched up when I reached out to these people, because I'm like, no way my podcast is there yet. But I punched up and I reached out to BetterHelp,
dude.
And BetterHelp messaged back and they said, send me the analytics and all that stuff and let's talk about it. They wanted the link, and I gave them the link, and the guy messaged back. He's like, man, I heard some episodes and I love what you're doing, and yeah, we'd absolutely love to go forward with this, you know. Dude, and as a blue collar man who's been through some shit, talking to other people who've gone through some shit, I'm pumped that I can give back to my community this way.
Dude, that's right? Killer. They're an awesome company. They're doing a lot of good work right now. I think they're a great sponsor. Congrats.
Hell yeah, man. It's official, but like, we don't have a code yet. I'm assuming, you know, but by the time this comes out, it should be out, and I'll put the code on the screen, man. And, you know, like, or dub it in somewhere. You know what I mean? I'm proud of that. I'm fucking, that is the proudest moment of my podcast so far.
Yeah. It's a insanely awesome feeling when somebody takes when they take a chance on you, right? Especially for somebody like BetterHelp.com, where they have a huge name, right?
Yeah.
So that's something you should be insanely proud of. Like, dude, I'm on, my wife almost hates it sometimes, but like, gratitude, like just the principle of gratitude has absolutely flipped my whole perspective of life upside down in the best way possible.
Yeah.
So be proud of it. Yeah. 100%. Love that.
I don't know if you've had this guy reach out to you yet. He reached out to me today asking me to come on his podcast, and it's a blue collar podcast called The Forgotten Working Class.
Mm-mm, no.
He's out of Florida. He got electrocuted by 4,100 volts while on the job, and he can't go back to work. And he's missing his ear because every time they did another surgery, they had to take another chunk. And finally, he's just like, take the whole thing. And his head is like concaved in pretty much, man. And he's got I started listening to a little bit of his podcast, man. And like, I'm pumped to go on that one too. You know, another blue collar podcast, you know, with the guy who's been through some shit.
Well, that's the thing, is you realize, dude, and that's what I'm saying. Like, political affiliation aside, country affiliation aside, freaking, you know, like religious, whatever. The big people at the top don't want people to understand that we have way more in common than we do have differences, right?
Oh, yeah.
Depression, anxiety, mental health struggles, financial struggles, parent struggles, work struggles. They don't give a shit about any of that stuff. They don't care about your political affiliation. They don't care where you were born. They don't care how you were born, who you love, any of that stuff. We all deal with it. And when you approach everything with a higher level of empathy, you'll realize you almost get back more from empathetic conversations than you're giving somebody. Like, if you just I'm a big believer on holding space for people. Like, I have improved. Yeah. Like, I had a guy that I didn't realize at the time when I met him was as stupid wealthy as he was and as insanely connected as he was. I just thought he was like a super cool, chill dude. Had him on the show. Come to find out, the dude had the craziest story where he like had millions invested in a business and then lost it all, like millions. And so his comeback story is crazy. But his whole thing is, he said, I lead forward doing the best I can to provide value to somebody, expecting nothing in return. And he's like, and I don't need anything because everything just comes to me that I need. He's like,
yeah,
I do whatever I can to help people. And then there's always something there that I like, if I need something, it always comes back to me or someone steps in, because it's just kind of like the laws, just like, I don't call it karma, call it, you know, spirituality, call it manifesting, whatever you want. If you just try to meet people where they're at and you try to help them, dude, the life fulfillment and the feelings of like that you're, you feel better about yourself is basically the best way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I, so similar story, right? Yeah. You didn't know this, you didn't know what this guy was about or what he had. I reached out to this woman who had a podcast, because I've been on Threads a lot and on Twitter, right? Just networking the podcast over there.
Yeah.
And I saw this woman named Rena Friedman Watts, who's host of the Better Call Daddy podcast, right? Yeah. And I saw, you know, she's a former Jerry Springer Show producer and stuff like that. And I had her on. I'm like, come on my podcast. And I'm going on hers. And she's not blue collar, right? So, like, had nothing niche related, just podcasters networking, right? And so she lives in Texas, Houston. And so we got to talking. Turns out her husband was in oil and gas, right? But he'd moved over to aerospace. And she's like, but what's crazy is, like, you know, after this podcast is done, after we're recording this, I'm going for lunch with this guy named Mark, who is the CEO of the OGN, the Oil and Gas Network. And he has a network where he's got a bunch of podcasts under him, and he runs social media for it, right? And I'm now talking with him for the last couple of days, and you know, like, just that connection. And then with that also, she shared some of my stuff on LinkedIn, and now I'm talking to this other lady out of Houston about, I don't know what it is she does. I can't remember. We're going to have another conversation about that. You know, but so much is coming out of that just because I made a connection with someone outside of my niche. Right. And it was like, who just happened to be niche affiliated.
Yeah.
Right? And it's fucking wild, dude.
That's this guy that we talk. His name is Sean. We had him on the show, Sean Finnegan. I'm like, dude, what do you even do for a living? He's like, I network, dude. Like, that's what he does. So he works with a company called Tax Hive here in Utah. One of his partners is Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank.
Like, shut up. That's cool.
That's who he runs with. Like, just to put it in perspective.
Canadian, yeah, Kevin O'Leary.
I know. Yeah, I told you, I know all the Canadians. Like, I love freaking Kevin O'Leary. And Marcus Lemonis, isn't he? I think he's another big dog. I think he might be Canadian. He's another big, like, investor mogul type. Anyways, long story short, this is the type of caliber this guy runs with. And dude, I'm a big believer in you have about 10 or 15 minutes to win somebody over. And then
absolutely
the big people at the top, they get the networking game because so-and-so threw them a bone, and it's all about who you know, not what you know. I know everybody has said that. And one thing that Sean has taught me is like flat out, if you know somebody who might know somebody, or you know somebody who just always knows the right guy, text them and be like, hey, I need to know somebody in this space. Who do you recommend? They get high off of it, dude. Like Sean, I text him, hey, I need somebody to yada, yada, yada to help with this and this. And he's like, oh, I got the perfect guy. 15 seconds later, I got a text. Hey, Steve, this is Logan, my buddy Logan, blah, blah, blah. He does this and this and this. He's looking for someone in your space. Your name came up. And dude, we've had the most insane opportunities from just connecting with people. We found one of our biggest sponsors because of that relationship with Sean. And now Sean is like super good buddy, like texting him back and forth all the time. We do a bunch of events together and he like wants to get involved with the more, you know, like legitimate side of Dad Bods and Beards. We actually created an LLC around it. And he's like, hey, I want to help you guys do this and this and this and blow this up. So you like, but if I'm sure if you looked at bank accounts, we probably did, like, you wouldn't think that you would run together with people like this, but
yeah,
it's you got to ask, like, you got to ask people like that, that have built themselves up from nothing. They appreciate the guy. They don't care how big or small you are right now because they remember what it was like to be in your position. They love when you ask. They love when you want to, like, same thing, dude. I was like, Sean, I want to know how to get from this point to this point. I feel like I'm stuck right here. What's your you know, advice? Phone freaking rings. He doesn't even text me back. He's like, okay, break it down. What do you want to know? Like, and it just, so the big thing is like, when you feel like you're stuck, you got to look outside yourself. You got to be like, who do I know who's where I want to be? Call that person. Like, dude, let me
being here with purpose, right?
Yeah. Like, let me take you to lunch.
You have to be here with purpose. This is such a powerful tool. You got to be here with purpose, you know?
Absolutely.
And man, excuse me. So kind of reminds me of, you know, the Mudman, right? The Mudman sponsors the podcast too. The Mudman deals in viscosity, you know, the resistance to flow. And yeah, he deals in like drilling equipment for the oil rigs, right? And he sponsors the podcast, and you know, he hooked me up with my first headset and mic and the laptop, and you know, we had him on the podcast, and we were talking to him, and I love this guy, right? And I told him who I wanted on for episode 50 of my podcast, right? That was like, we didn't get him, but that's okay. The effort was made, you know what I mean? We went hard at it. And who I wanted. So it was a guy named Mike Williams out of the US. And he was part of the Deepwater Horizon accident. Like Mark Wahlberg played his character. And so I wanted him on. And the Mudman's like, let me reach out to some of my contacts. And I just put it out there to him. And he's like, let me reach out to some of my contacts in Texas, right? I know that's where he lives. Within 8 hours, the dude texts me his phone number.
Yeah.
He's like, here, I got it for you. Now, Mike, not interested in that stuff. It was a tragic accident.
Yeah.
PTSD, you know what I mean? And people died. And he's like, no. You know, so that's just some of the ways the Mudman's helped me out, you know? And fuck, I love that guy. But now with networking, I feel like I was sort of born to do that, right? Because like my whole life, from a kid to now, I have networked my entire life, high school, yeah, middle school, right? Like I can take you back to a time 12 years ago when I was in Fort Mac. I was in a camp and I'm walking through the hall one night, just bored, just walking around camp. And this guy stops. He's like, hey, man, can I borrow your cell phone? It's my son's birthday today. My cell phone's dead. I don't know where the charger is and I can't get a phone card of the machine, right? I'm like, yeah, fuck, man, call your son, right? And I sat there while he talked to him for a couple minutes. He handed me a phone back and we talked after he was done. The dude was like, he was a big wig for like the major oil company, man. Right. Yeah. And I have his phone number, man. We talked all the time, you know, for a while we did anyways. And we just chatted. I don't have his number anymore. He probably changed it, but I still had that guy, you know, like,
yeah,
right? 'Cause I let him use my phone at like 9:30 at night.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, when it's almost like in the back of your head, you would almost think like, no, I'm not gonna use my phone. Like, right. Like, but it's moments like that. You don't realize it can make a lasting impact. Right. So yeah, that's how we found our largest sponsor for the show was, I don't know if you've ever heard of Mountain Ops. So they're basically a supplement company, kind of like, you know, they do all the pre-workouts, the creatines like that, but it's outdoorsman based. So it's based for the hunter. It's based for the runner. It's based for the guys that do a bunch of like mountain sports and things like that. But they're like big on like core values. It was literally a text. Hey, I think you need to meet Trevor Farnes, yada, yada, yada. He's the Mountain Ops guy. Come to find out, dude built this massive company from nothing. And now he's a super close buddy. He's like, we didn't even have to freaking ask him. He's like, I want to sponsor your show. I love what you guys are doing. And I just cashed the first freaking check on Saturday. Talk about a win. I'm like, that was a big check for a show that started in my basement. Right.
So what do we talk about for numbers? If you don't mind me asking, what was the number on that check? Just so we can get a feel for like, you know, what those kind of things are worth. You know what I mean?
So just the initial deposit is, it was $1,000. So $1,000 for an episode. And one episode. But that's what I'm saying is that's just the initial startup. And that's like the first cash sponsor, right? I mean, you have people that will throw you product. You have people that will like do this or a shout out or whatever. Right. But like same thing of like, dude, someone's sending you a MacBook. Like that's big money. Like these things, that's what I've got, dude. I had to put, when we bought this thing, when we were brand new, man, I had to put it on a payment plan because let's be honest, these things are like 2,500, but you know, it's almost like a write-off because you need it for the thing.
Yeah.
But to take something from nothing, and then you have a multi-million dollar company say, hey, we love what you're doing. Here's $1,000 on a year-long contract for what we're doing, you know, for episodes. We're also going to give you $250 each per month towards product. We're also going to give you a discount code. And then you guys are going to make 30% off of anything like that. So this is the thing is like people say, oh, you're a sellout or whatever. No. Like if what we're doing impacts people and helps people and saves lives, if we can also find a way to have these big companies that want to be involved help pay the bills so we can maybe do it full time down the road, that's a win-win-win-win-win, right?
No kidding.
Yeah. So, I mean,
no kidding, man.
The big part is too, is like that money that we're getting in from them immediately goes back into what we're doing. So then we turn around and we're paying a YouTube production company to help us skyrocket on YouTube because all the money, you know, comes in off of YouTube. So
here's a bit of a personal question and it's very relevant, right? It's do you suffer, and the word suffer is, it shouldn't be suffer, but do you experience premature ejaculation?
Do I?
Or have you?
I think every guy does.
Fuck yeah.
It depends on a lot of factors, but yeah, I think every guy does.
One in three men suffer or experience premature ejaculation, right? And it's not weird talking about this in camp with the fucking paper thin walls, man. But like the podcast is sponsored by Steady Freddy, and Steady Freddy deals in men's sexual health, right? And you know, so they have this shit called delay spray. You know, after I get home from a long hitch in the bush, right, a month away, I'm ready to just pop off, right? Like I get home, like I ain't waiting for you, you know. I'm coming and I'm coming, right? Like, you know, so like fucking you spray this shit on and it numbs it. You can't feel it. It makes you go longer, right? It increases your stamina. You know, the first one doesn't always have to be for you. Sometimes the first one can be for her, right? And that's just, I make that up every episode I go, right? Like I just okay, how can I make this funny and whatnot today, right? They pay me $500 an episode.
That's great. It's crazy.
What?
But see, this is the thing, is you don't know who that might help. By talking about something like that, everyone's like, oh, I'm not gonna talk about that. One in three men, freaking 33%. That's a big ass number. Right.
One in three men, and the other two were lying about it, right?
Exactly. There you go. There's the caveat, because that's what I'm saying, dude. I mean, especially when you know, when, I don't know if you're, you know, I don't know if you're married or if you guys, you know, what your guys' relationship is like, but it's like the older you get and the longer the span is between, you know, between goes at, you know, before you go at it with mama, like sometimes it doesn't last as long as it used to, right? Like when you were younger. But
sometimes I don't even wake up in the morning with me anymore, you know, like.
Yeah, dude, 30s that's will do
the
that
way it goes. That's
come on, dude. Yeah. We used to be ride or die. What's going on, man? But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, is you're obviously, I mean, you're twice, you're, well, this is, there's a pun for you. You're twice as long as we are, as far as like in the podcast game. So getting that first legit sponsor, because that's the big thing we never did, was we never pushed it. We were more concerned about putting the content out and kind of creating almost like a sponsor deck, right? Like, hey, we had to like build the analytics before you can go after people, right? And then once you build out that authenticity and you build your brand, as soon as we started saying, hey, we're sponsored by, boom, messages start coming in. Oh, they're sponsored by so-and-so. And that's where I'm saying is like $1,000, especially in the blue collar industry, everybody acts like we're all dummies. I'm like, no, you should see the paychecks, right?
Yeah.
$1,000 in comparison to everyday life and stuff like that doesn't seem like a lot, but when it's $500, $1,000, a free MacBook, free headset, whatever, and it's something that you're doing from your heart and not just something that you're doing to pay the bills, that's, it could be freaking $50, dude. And you're like, somebody freaking believes in me, and that means everything.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah, man. That means everything. You know, like the Mudman, when he first sponsored the podcast, he sponsored it with a headset and a mic, right? He's like, hey, you need this, right? Obviously. He's like, what he said was, I went and listened to one of your podcasts, and the audio was a lot better than the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. He's like, so I went to go see what you were doing different. And he noticed that I had the corded headphones. And he's like, oh, so headphones, huh? So then he's like, do you need this and this? And I'm like, absolutely. Cool. He's like, this is what we're going to do. And I'm like, okay. And it was only supposed to be like a 5-episode run, episode 14. Here we are, episode 97.
Yeah, that's rad, dude.
Yeah, man. Dude, it's incredible. It's been an incredible run.
One of the biggest lessons I learned was being happy for other people without comparison. Right.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, like, that's why I say Tyson, my freaking co-host, my best friend, he gets so mad at me because I'll always start things of like, if I'm talking about something that's like going well for me or working well for me or whatever, I tend to be like, now I don't want this to come off narcissistic, or I don't want this to come off douchey. Like, he gets mad at me. He's like, dude, there's nothing wrong with talking about something that you're good at, or there's not something wrong that you're winning at, or something that like is working out. So like, we've unfortunately had people reach out to us that have been doing the podcast game a lot longer than us. And they, you know, they accuse you of like, oh, who are you? You know, you're paying bots or you're whatever to get your views and things like that. Or, and it's like, no, we freaking lucked out. Like, I guess you could say our first sponsor was our producer, Tommy, who runs the Vodcast Network, which is video podcast, Vodcast. And you can see him linked on our socials and stuff like that. But dude, his whole studio, I mean, it is whole studio quality lights, 3 or 4 like high end cameras and mics going, you know, all the time. He does all of our editing, all that stuff. I mean, that's, the dollar amount is probably $1,500 to $2,000 per episode for production. And wow. He does all of that for us because he believes in the message. And he's like, you guys are going to be big. We're all going to come up together. So he took a huge chance on us, and he's become a brother to us. Like, it's not just me and Tyson, it's me, Tyson, and Tommy, and we're building this thing out together. So it's like someone sending you headphones, sending you a MacBook, things like that, and he's like, I want to produce your show. And it's like, dude, sometimes we're recording on Friday or Saturday and he's getting me the episode Sunday night to throw up. I'm writing the show notes, I'm putting in all the links. And then he's sending me this and I'm running it through my, you know, my AI platform, trying to pick the most viral, you know, the most viral clips. And dude, it's a lot of freaking work. But then when you get that one message, hey, dude, I love this, I needed this today, you're like, all right, that was worth it. On to next week.
And I get a lot of messages from dudes, you know, that are going through the mental health shit. And they're like, hey, man, it was nice to hear you know, men talking about that, you know, big construction men in yeah. these industries talking about it. You know, I'm on Snapchat a lot and people message, like, will add me and be like, hey man, I really enjoyed that episode. I really enjoyed listening to the podcast. And then, you know, I talk about, you know, my Snapchat, like the one episode where I'm like, hey man, what's your Snapchat? And they told me their Snapchat and I'm like, oh, this is mine. And I talked about it. After that episode went up, I think my fucking subscriber increase went up that, like, for a few days there by a lot. Yeah, well, it was like, oh shit.
So let me ask you, do you feel like you're always on your phone? Like, just with socials?
Always. And I feel bad about it sometimes.
Yeah. But then it's like, the worst part is, and I feel for you, right? Like, cause you're out in the field, like you're away for what, how many weeks at a time?
20 days now. I used to be 5 to 6 weeks at a time. I just got a new job where I'm home. I work 20 and 10, 20 days on, 10 off. I'm straight days. It's fly in, fly out now. It's a day rate, you know, like my life has changed significantly in the last few yeah. weeks here. So yeah, man,
that's pretty rad, dude. Yeah. I mean, dude, that's you. I don't even feel like I should say I'm in blue collar when I talk to guys like you. Cause it's like, I mean, I go home every night. Right. I mean, I work locally. Right. But I mean, it's still 60, 70 hour weeks. Right. Unfortunately, yeah. I'm going, you know, getting up when it's dark, going to bed when it's dark, getting home and kids 2 hours before bedtime. Like tonight, the wife was yeah. like, hey, can I go down the street? You know, are you going to be home in time? I want to go watch this movie with a couple of friends. I'm like, yeah, go. She gets home. And 15 minutes later, after I get home, she's gone, you know, and I'm hanging out with the kids, get them to bed and things like that. Now it's like, it's 10 o'clock, 5:30 is going to come real early. But so it's kind of hard doing what you do and doing all this stuff too. Cause then it's like, but you got to find time to get the content out. You got to find time to get the clips. You got to find time to edit. And it's like,
yep. I get lucky that way because I'm in camp. I'm away from home, right? So, like, sure. you know, when I'm laying in my room or if I have some spare time during the day at work, I get in the truck and I do a lot there. But also, though, when I go home, it's like that time doesn't really I don't know if I'm putting it down more or not, but, like, I know my kids have brought it up. My kids have mentioned it, you know, like, hey, you're on your phone a lot. And it's like, hey, you're right. But at the same time, you know, like, I've made a decent amount of money off of TikTok and Facebook and the socials. And it's like, hey, you know that. And I don't like throwing it. I don't like saying it, but it's like, hey, you know that gift you got last week? Yeah. You know that toy we had to buy you at Walmart when we were passing through? This paid for it, right? And yeah. I shouldn't say that because that just invalidates their issue, you know? But, yeah, well, man. But like,
this is the caveat, though, is like, is so many people act like it's not like a real form of like a side hustle or an income thing, right? Like, I mean, nobody's gonna be like, oh man, like, you know, I mean, sometimes you'll be like, oh, you work too much, right? But it's like, you're not gonna get the same grief for going to work as you might get for someone saying, oh, you're always on your phone. You're like, hey, yeah. but like, you know, I work for this company that pays me X amount of dollars to help them run their social media. I get paid by this company to put out X amount of content per week for them. And if I put out my own content, by the way, TikTok and Instagram pays, if I can get something to go viral, I mean, you can make $1,500 on a 30-second video. And it's like,
I've done it on Facebook. Yeah.
And it's 2024. You gotta have multiple ways of making money. I mean, when you're making six figures and you're still barely getting by sometimes, like I look at Logan five, six years ago. And I'm like, I don't know how the freaking hell I was making it, but you do, because you got to grind. You got to get up every single day. And you're kind of like, I'm a big believer in trying to be present when I'm home. Like I said, like texting you, I'm like, hey, I'd love to do this. It's gotta be after the kids go to bed because yeah. you know, yeah. I only get seen for 2 or 3 hours a night if I'm lucky. Right. And you obviously you're super cool with that. Unless my kid's puking, then I'm just going to tell you, you got to wait. Right. But there are some days where I'm like on a Saturday and I'm like, I got to get this YouTube video out for the beard care company. Yada, yada, yada. I have these commitments. I mean, it's a commitment. It's a job. I mean, there's contracts involved, yeah. things like that a lot of times. And like, you know, it pulls on the dad strings. He's like, dad, I want to go ride my bike. And my kid, I just got him to learn how to get off the training wheels. And I'm like, buddy, I'm sorry. I got to get this done. And then you kind of feel that dad guilt. And sometimes you feel like you can't win, but in the back of your head, you're like, buddy, I'm sorry, but I'm doing this because, you know, you got a roof over your head. You got more Legos than I would have known what to do with when I was 6 years old. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, at the same time too, right? Like, I don't know. I think you're in the same place where I'm at, where, you know, like, I kind of want this to go somewhere. So eventually I could, you know, maybe be scaled back on the amount of hours that I work and I can be home more. Right. And then, you know, I know, I don't know what your screen time is like sometimes, but like, fuck, when I look at that, man, I want to like, this week, almost 11 hours, man.
Yeah, dude. When I almost sometimes feel like I need to turn it off. Cause like Sunday morning, it's like, hey, your weekly screen time. I'm like, shut your damn mouth. Nope. Like, that's,
I don't want to see that.
Oh yeah. No, dude, when I see that and it's like, I'll even tell you right now, I'll look at it, but it's like, sometimes I try to, like play it like a game, like, you know, almost like golf, like the lower screen time I can get, the better. But yeah, no, right now, because it's freaking busy season for us, like go hard season, because when it starts getting wet here in Utah with the winter months, excavation slows way, way down, right? Because everything just gets muddy, yeah. Compaction goes the shit, you know, get freeze thaw, right? So right now I'm on a low period because we're so busy. I don't have time during the day to do a lot of content. I'm only averaging about 8.5 hours a day on my phone. So
I think when I was, so I was working somewhere where I didn't have really good cell service during the day.
Yeah. And
I was only getting, during the day. So I was gone for like 12, 13 hours and then I'd come back and, you know, my screen time was only 7 or 8 hours that day. Right. Yeah. Or for that week. Yeah. Yeah, man. Oh man. Like, I feel good about myself down 80% this week.
You want to put it in perspective? It's almost kind of pathetic. So I view my phone as a tool, almost like I view, like I've got an F-350. Beat that thing to death, dude. I tow all day long with that thing. I view my phone in the same category as my truck because I can't do my job without my truck. I can't travel. I supervise a lot of jobs. I'm the logistics manager. You know, if there's a smaller machine to move on like a gooseneck, I move it so that our guys don't take 3 hours to do what only took an hour and a half, right? Yeah. I also can't do what I do on the back end without my phone. And when I went and got the phone, whenever it comes out, I know it sounds another kind of douchey. I have to go get the newest iPhone because that's the best thing for content creation in my opinion. And I get the Pro whatever Max, and it's like a terabyte of storage, and the amount of videos and pictures I have in there is ridiculous. And I have 50 gigs a month of unlimited speed, like 5G or whatever. I also had to recently go and buy a 100 gig hotspot. Because I blow through that much data in a month.
Yeah.
Because you're scrolling through, you're getting content ideas, you're editing, you're uploading. Like, you don't realize, like, the average person goes through freaking 12 gigs of data in a month. I'm going through.
Is that what it is? I'm going through 100 as well.
My wife regularly, if I look at our data plan, she's like 12 gigs. And she works full time. She's not sitting at home on Wi-Fi all day long. She's a kindergarten aide at my kid's school. She works full time, full school day. She goes through about 12 gigs a month. Our cycle starts over on the 25th. So we're 10 days out. She's at like 9.5 gigs of data. I'm at maxed out my phone plan and I'm about 20 gigs deep on my additional 100 on the mobile hotspot. Because
good for you, buddy.
You're editing, you're creating or whatever, and then you're uploading while you're freaking driving or while you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. So
while I'm driving.
Well, I mean, like, I'll edit it and then hit upload and then take off. That's what I mean. But
Yeah. I never drive and edit at the same time. I got an assistant,
which basically is a phone holder that I'm tapping while we're driving. But here's the thing is, being here in Utah, not being from Utah, I don't know if you've heard of the drivers here in Utah. I can drive better with my eyes closed than half the people here can drive with them open. So.
Yeah. So I haven't asked. I was going to ask, what is the Dad Bods and Beards podcast about? What do you guys talk about?
Oh, yeah. So it basically started out just like a view into like the modern day guy, like what we go through, just being like the everyday average man, husband, father, friend. And it quickly turned into like a men's mental health podcast where basically we give men the permission to talk about the hard things that you've been told your whole life never to talk about. And it's not, I mean, dude, we get emotional on the show, not all the time, but it's a very interesting dynamic when you look at the show hosts and you got a big burly blue collar guy. And then my friend, which I'm 5'10", I'm nothing big, right? But I mean, I'm 260, I'm a big boy. But then
I'm 5'4", so you're bigger than me.
Dude, my buddy Tyson, freaking 6'3".
I know.
He's a former bodybuilder, entrepreneur. But he still has a full time job. He works for the U.S. Air Force. He's a professor for them on the base here in Utah. And you talk about a guy that grinds. That dude grinds hard. But when you're watching a show with two big guys and two, like, that's why we called it Dad Bods and Beards, is we started in kind of like, it's the beards is a nod to kind of how we started. And we're just, you know, we both used to play football. We both used to lift weights. We still lift quite a bit now, but to have two guys like us to kind of tear down the stigma of like, you got to be this weak ass man to talk about your feelings. Like, no, one of the strongest guys that we've ever met was shot in the head off of a wall in Afghanistan. And I grew up with him and he was on the podcast. His name's Jordan. He goes by Headshot Jordan. Dude, I lost half the use of his body and has one leg missing and he could still kick the shit out of me. Having guys like that come on the podcast and talk about the importance of the men's suicide rate and talk about that bottling up your feelings and bottling up those hard things is just going to lead to just like self-hatred and self-loathing and just a poor quality of life. Our big thing is giving men permission and holding a space for you to, like, if you can't go talk to your wife or you can't go talk to your parents, you can't talk to your friend because maybe they've used that against you in the past, or you've had your back up against the wall, or you shared too much and now your relationship is shot. Come be our friend. Come talk to us. Come be, you know, come listen to the show. And that's, we want to have it be this feeling of like that you're just in the room with us chatting, because that dude's got six freaking kids. He's got a small herd, right? He talks about the stresses of everything that he's been through. He talks about all the ups and downs of everything he's been through. I talk about the fact that I have a wife that is an 11 on at a scale of 10, right? And she used to think I had a lot of money. If you see a picture of my wife, you'd be like, wow, I don't have a lot of money. But the thing is
a good credit or a big dick.
Yeah, basically, right? But the thing is like I had on the outside, I had the life, gorgeous wife, you know, perfect little babies, but I wanted to die. I wanted to die. I was bipolar. I was depressed. I was anxious. I didn't know why. It was a chemical imbalance. And I was too prideful to go ask somebody for help. And I was suffering silently. I was making stupid choice after stupid choice. I was hallucinating. I was hating my life. And I wanted to die until somebody finally came in and was like, you're sick. Your brain is sick. It's okay for your brain to be sick. It's not your fault. But not doing anything about it is your fault. So mental health, mental illness is not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And that's what Dad Bods and Beards is it's giving men the permission to talk about it, but then doing the best we can to motivate somebody to do something about it. So it's like, hey, if I can come back from wanting to die and feel so insanely grateful for the life that I have and for the fact that my wife is still in it and I get to be my kid's dad when I almost wasn't there anymore. Like, I want to share that. I want to talk to the guy. We had a gal on the show. This is a shameless plug. If there's any episode to listen to of the Dad Bods and Beards podcast, go listen to the one by Danny Bates. She's one of the only women we've ever had on the show because she is the widow of a man who died by suicide 5 years ago. And she is a social media personality that is a mental health advocate. And she gives the perspective of what happens to your wife and children after you make that irreversible decision. And it's a hard episode for a man to sit there and listen to. And basically what we talked about at the end was like, don't let this be your wife. we say all the time, it's not weak to speak. It is not weak to speak. I mean, 22 veterans a day are dying by suicide. And that's just the veterans and first responders, dude. That's not talking about the everyday average guys like us.
Yeah.
It's insane. So I say this all the time. If you want to call me a bitch for talking about this stuff, call me a bitch. But also call me when you're crying and I'll listen. I promise.
Hell yeah. And that's fucking, I love that, dude. I was around, I started listening to, when we first started talking, I listened to the very most recent episode. Then I went back like 10. And you guys, it started off by, oh, we've had a hard couple of weeks. And then I was like, well, shit, what did I miss? So then I went back a couple more. And then it was like, I went through a little bit, right? And it was like, all right, yeah, man, I love this shit. You know, this is what sort of mine is, right? It's I bring the laughs and I bring the funny, and you know, we talk about work, but we also, you know, we talk about the mental health side of it, man, because it's fucking huge. It is important.
Well, and it's not this is the thing too, is I always try to I have to preface this too, like, it's not heavy all the time. Like, it's not emotionally draining all the time. We're still two dudes that are best friends, and the jokes will come flying. Like, I'll be in the middle of like recounting something that's maybe a little bit harder for me to talk about, and Tyson just makes that like intrusive thought joke and just like kind of kills the mood. But next thing you know, we're laughing and we're cracking up. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like an everything show. Like we said, it's those campfire talks, buddy. It's the camp talks. Like, it's the, you know, the long road trip talks with your buddy. It's like where you go from just shooting the shit, laughing your ass off and just talking. And then the next thing you know, it's like talking about how things have been rough at home, talking about how you've been putting off those freaking collection phone calls. And then, you know, putting off of like, hey man, like, I've been really struggling with this. And you and I'm guilty of this too, man. I had a point in my life where empathy was not something that I was very good at all, because bipolar is notorious for eroding your interpersonal relationships, because you are so stuck in your own head, you can't give a shit about anybody else, because you're just a shell, dude. You're trapped in here. Everyone else is just kind of playing outside of you, and you're just numb, right?
My dad's bipolar, yeah.
So you get it, man. I mean, one minute he's got I've got the best idea in the world. Best idea in the world. It cannot fail. The next minute I want to die. Sometimes it happens that quick. Sometimes it's extended periods of time. Dude, I could talk for days on mental health. Basically, long story short, once I realized what it felt like to get and receive empathy, and I started forcing myself to be more empathetic, and I'm realizing like there's such a better life on the outside of listening to your buddies talk, like listening to your friends talk, I work with my brother every single day, my older brother, and we've had a lot of hard conversations over the years, and he's been there for me in a lot of other times, but like, I had to sit down with him, you know, at one point and be like, dude, talk to me. We were raised by the same freaking people. Like, my dad is an amazing guy. We were raised by the same parents, and my dad has his struggles, but it's like, even my own brother, dude, I felt like a hypocrite. I'm like, dude, I can tell you're struggling. You're not talking to me, because you were there for me in this time. Talk to me now. So that's in a gist, in a long ass overwinded explanation. That's the gist of the show, is that if you don't feel like you have somebody to talk to, come talk to us. Come listen. Come just, you know, hang out.
That's the perfect explanation for it, man. And it's what's drawn me to you. I can't remember which video of yours I saw first, but I was like, that guy's got a podcast. And it was one of your guys' podcast videos, actually. Like, I thought it was funny. And I'm like, I got to recreate that. I got to do that for mine, right? And then it was like, oh, you got a podcast. And then I reached out to you, and then you answered right back. And I thought, wow, this is great. You know, like, someone, you're the couple hundred thousand followers. That's insane, you know, and fucking love that, man. You know, and thanks for coming back, you know, reaching back out to me. I'm glad we're having this conversation, dude.
But I love what you said, because I'm like, on just a daily basis, the amount of time that my phone rings just for work, right? Because we've got four crews. My brother owns the company. I run a lot of the day-to-day headaches of like making sure a bunch my phone rings all day long, text messages just for work. And so I don't always have my DM notifications on Instagram and stuff, which is how you connect with people in the creator world. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I probably said sorry to you 15 times. And I love that you're like, I'm not bugging you to be a pest. I'm bugging you. Like I'm messaging you to stay relevant. And I was like,
yep,
good. I loved that. And I'm going to steal that because you don't know, going back to what we talked about, dude, you don't know the connection you can make. You don't know who knows who, and you don't know what can come from what. So
yep.
I try really hard to respond to people that especially like when you're doing, bro, you know the game of like when you do that, you go right to the top of the list on the way
that's Instagram right.
works. So yep. you're like, nah, dude, I'm just working the algorithm to stay relevant. I'm like, hey, it works because I got a guy at the bottom of the list that I forgot to respond to. And I'm like, oh shit, it's been freaking 12 weeks. And I feel really bad. I'm like, oh, I'll reach out to him. Like, hey, did you still want to do this? So.
Yeah, man. And that exactly it. You know, like when I ask people to come on the podcast and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, it'll be a little while before we talk and my notifications aren't on either. Right. So, you know, and then I'm like, then I remember about them and it's like, once a day or once every other day or whatever. I'm like, all right, you know, and then, or I'll go on and I'll go to your profile posted 20 minutes ago. Well, I know if you posted 20 minutes ago, you're coming back regularly to check your likes and your comments. So I'm going to be like right there, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's I'll tell you another trick I learned, especially if you have an iPhone, going back to networking, create your phone like ID card, like on your contact card. Almost treat it like a LinkedIn. Do like a nice little headshot, because iPhones now freaking will let you do that. Put your name in there, put your contact info that you want people to have. And when you text somebody that has an iPhone, if you get a number for somebody and they don't respond, you can be like, share contact card. And then it pops up. It'll be like, oh, Logan shared this with you. And then they get the face of the name, and it's how another way to stay relevant, right? I just did that with a dude, which unfortunately I'm not going to be on his show because he's massive and he has a massive appearance fee. It was crazy.
Who are we talking about here?
He's that guy out of Vegas. His name's Brad Lee. You've probably seen him. I'll have to send you something. He's got like millions of followers. He's kind of one of those guys that is almost like a lifestyle type guy, kind of like a millionaire lifestyle. And he grinds really hard. I'll give him that. But he's got this show called The Bomb or something like that. And he's one of those shows where the people who come on his shows, they pay to come on because he has millions of followers. And I put in, when they put out like, hey, we're opening casting for this next round or whatever, I'm like, boom, I'm on that because he's got a huge show. And I'm like, hey, we got a men's mental health podcast. We have a different approach to it because, you know, yada, 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 yada. I finally get a text message today. Hey, I'm so-and-so from Brad's show. I want to reach out to you. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. I responded to that dude within a minute and he didn't get back to me for an hour. I'm like, dude, I literally just texted you back, because I'm sure he's texting hundreds of people, right? And so I send him my contact card and he calls me because it like pops up on his phone. Logan shared his contact card with you. Long story short, I don't have 25 grand to appear on this guy's show for an hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, kudos to you, man, because he gets it. That's the thing. I'm like, and I call my buddy Tyson. I'm like, dude, how do we get to that level? How do we get to, oh, you want to be on the show? Yeah, it'll be 25 grand.
I'm trying to get Mike Rowe on my podcast for episode 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reaching out to him everywhere and messaging him and emailing him and finding out ways. I found out recently that dude charges for public speaking events 250 grand.
For
virtual speaking events like this, 50 grand to a 50 to 100. So like, I was like, well, maybe that dream is dead, but like, I'm still going to try. So you know what I mean? I'm still going to ask.
You just got to find somebody who knows him on a buddy level and get that introduction.
I'm looking.
Then he might like, he'll just, dude, it's just, it's also kind of like, have you seen those trends? You should try this. Doing this every day until Mike Rowe responds. Have you seen those?
I did that with Rosie O'Donnell on TikTok like 4 or 3 years ago. She followed me back on day 14.
No way, dude. That's try that with Mike Rowe. It might work.
Yeah, well, she's a shitty follower friend, yeah. But like, whatever. I'll try it with Mike Rowe.
Dude, I'm a big believer in dreaming, right? Like like I've got a list on my phone, and you can't see this, but to the left, I've become a whiteboard guy. Like having it in your face every single day. And I have a little corner over here that my 8-year-old requested is her corner so she can write me. Like right now I've got, "You're the best dad ever in the world. Love Livy," my daughter Olivia. I'm like, okay, that's staying. But on that board, I have a massive list of people that I want to have on the show, right? Like I want to, it sounds crazy, but it's not crazy until, you know, it's only crazy until it happens, right? Like, yeah. I want to have Joe Rogan on the show. I want to have Theo Von on the show. I want
to
have...
I've reached out to Theo Von. You could reach out to Theo Von. You listen to his podcast at some episodes. Oh, yeah. He puts his phone number out there and you can leave him messages. And he responds to them on his show, right? So...
Yeah. Well, another one is... and I've got... we want to have Keanu Reeves on the show. We want to have Jason Kelsey on the show. Like, I'm like, these are the things of like, if you don't ask, the answer is just always going to be no.
The answer is always no if you don't ask, 100%. Exactly. I'm a big believer in that.
What does Michael Scott say? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Right? Wayne Gretzky, yep.
But yeah, so that's the big thing is like, I mean, even freaking Danny Trejo, you know, like Machete, that guy. Like, there's these people that, and gosh, I feel bad. I always remember, I forgot his name. Do you ever watch Walking Dead or The Punisher?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, the guy who plays Shane, like the buddy, he's got a freaking killer podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We so want to have him. I reached out to Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he came on my podcast. I've had Dave Marciano. I've had Ed the Sock. Oh, fuck, man. Like, dude, the answer is always no, we don't ask. And Ed the Sock said, sometimes trying is the funniest part. Mm-hmm. Right. And
story. So, another networking thing, we got involved. There's this place here in Utah, pretty cool. It's called iHub. It's basically because there's three big universities here within an hour of each other. And Utah is this huge entrepreneurial state. Like there's so many freaking startups here. Basically all of the California tech came to Utah. They call it the Silicon Slopes now, not Silicon Valley. And there's so many startups. There's this place called iHub that I became a social media mentor at, where it basically is, if you're under 35, you want a startup, you can pretty much apply and they'll give you like working capital, they give you a space to do this. Anyways, long story short, they do these big events, and the guy who runs the whole show, he's a billionaire with a B, like the guy who, anyways, personal friends with Steve Young. I'm a diehard 49ers fan. From literally like the Steve Young era from the 90s. I have pictures of me in a Steve Young jersey at like 6 years old, 7 years old. Anyways, I go to this event, Steve Young's freaking speaking. And I've never met him in my entire life. I turn into a little kid. It is nonstop in this house. I find out he's coming and I'm like, oh, we're going to listen to him. And he walks in the front door of the event where I'm at and we're right there. And I looked at Tyson, my buddy. I'm like, dude, I've got to talk to him before anybody else talks to him. And I freaking bum rushed that dude. And I took my 5 minutes to tell him what I do, tell him about the podcast, get my name in there, shook his hand. And then I'm like, dude, I've got a hat in my truck. That one I just showed you. I go to my hat. I go to my truck. I grab my hat. I grab a freaking Milwaukee sharp, you know, like the write on everything Sharpies. And he's about to go on stage and speak. I freaking walk right in front of like, no joke, 500 people. I sit right next to him and where his assistant's supposed to be sitting. And I'm like, if I don't get you to sign this, I'm going to regret this for the rest of my life. Looks at me. He goes, man, you're super persistent. And I'm like, yeah, you just wait till you're on my podcast. Anyways, long story short, we get to know the guy who's friends with him. And we're hopefully getting things set up here soon that he's going to be on the show. Did I ever think I was
going to have
a podcast with my childhood heroes would be on the show? I'll tell you what, he remembers who the heck I am because I'm this chubby guy with a beard who would not leave him alone. So
I did that with Steven Tyler once. I waited till no one was around, Aerosmith. I waited till no one was around. Yeah. And then like, cause he was at a festival in town and I wanted to walk, but I think it was a run. And I walked up and I meant to just poke him, but I grabbed his arm And he turns around, he's like, ah, right? And I'm like, oh, shit, the cops are coming now for sure, you know?
That's funny, dude. Yeah, shit, no, I mean, you know, if you don't take the shot, the answer is always no. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm a big believer in just the people. They always say that the people who will never try are going to be the ones who tell you it's not going to work, right? The people at the top, the people who have made it are never going to, they're never going to shit on you for wanting to try.
Hell yeah, so, man. Hey, man, I don't want to keep you too much longer, right? It's getting on in time there. I'm in camp. The walls are paper thin. Where can people find your podcast and you on the socials?
So they're all kind of linked together. You Dad Bods and Beards. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, if they're watching the video, you can just see the, you know, the little card at the bottom. Like you said, or Dad Bods and Beards, you'll see kind of the iconic, just literally like the silhouette of a beard with sunglasses. That's kind of our logo. Or you can find me on just Logan Peterson on Instagram, you know, TikTok and Facebook is all just Logan Peterson. You'll see me. It's just the big ugly dude with a beard. But yeah, and then we got other link pages on there. You can get to the podcast. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're on everything. Like that was my big thing, is I wanted to be on all the platforms because there's a lot of different listener bases all over there. So
hell yeah,
you can watch the podcast on Spotify or YouTube, or you can just listen to it on any of the other ones. So
I didn't know you could watch on Spotify.
Dude, okay. This is one thing that our producer Tommy put us onto. We were using the RSS feed, just a standard one as like our main platform that put it out to everybody.
Yeah.
And vodcasts are becoming a new thing. Video podcasts, right? I mean, like everybody records video on their podcasts now, right?
Yeah.
Spotify, you can upload the full video and people can watch it on the Spotify app. And
like Spotify for podcasters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you upload,
I just got that.
And the cool thing is, so we use those as our feed. So we use that as our main platform and it pushes it out to everybody. Right. And the cool part is if you utilize that feature, Spotify actually gives you a little bit more priority than everybody who's just doing audio.
Does it cost money?
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, nothing more than what just a typical, you know, like production cost is of just, I think it's like, I don't even notice. I think it's like maybe $20-$30 a month or whatever. I think we might've just done the initial all at once fee, but the thing my producer handles all that now, but basically you put it up there. And the cool part is it will literally section out your show for you. It'll put chapters for you, and then you can go and share it from Spotify directly to Instagram. And it'll pull based off some AI settings. It'll be like, oh, this is actually a viral clip. So you can share a pre-clipped section of your show that comes with a cool link with your logo on it and everything. Spotify's legit, dude. There's a reason why Joe Rogan went over to that. So
that's badass, man. I love that.
So,
wow, man. So before I wrap up the pod here, you know, I ask one last question, and, you know, it usually stumps a lot of people. And, you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the rock, right? If you could have your own Mount Rushmore with four people that you look up to, inspire to be, or that inspired you, who would they be and why?
Oh, dude, that is a tough question. I'm not a huge celebrity guy, right? I'm not a politician guy. Not a global elitist guy, right? I know this is going to sound super cliche, but my dad has got to be on there. That guy has never failed to show up for me, and I do not take that for granted. Ever since I was a kid, that guy just showed up for me nonstop. When I came to him, was like, dude, dad, we're starting this podcast. We got this. Cut me a check. Okay, I want to be an investor in it. Spent his whole life to get to where he's at today, and struggled through a lot. And now he's at a position financially. He was like, I want to do this. I want to help you with this. So he cut us a check to get a bunch of gear, whatever. Another one. Gosh, dude, that's really hard. Four freaking people. Because I mean, it's like, this is gonna sound maybe a little different because everybody thinks it needs to be men. My wife, because I I would not physically be alive without that woman. She is 5'2". Just the I say this all the time. If you have a problem with Chelsea, my wife, you are undoubtedly the problem, because she does not have a bad bone in her body. And I will gladly be locked up for the rest of my life if it meant I needed to, because, you know, like defending that woman. But she pulled me out of the worst spots of my life, and she held on for dear life in times where so many other people would have ran. She has made me a better person than anything I've ever done in my life could have done without her. Gosh, dude. I think I just by consolation, like, you know, kind of like consolation. I mean, it's gonna sound funny. My last two would probably be my kids, because I look up to them and their innocence, in the fact that I view that as my responsibility to retain their innocence as much as possible by giving them everything I possibly can. Like, I fight every single day for those three people, my wife and my two babies. I will throw away everything I do if it meant I had to keep them. So my Mount Rushmore is my wife, my kids, and my dad. Like, I do everything because those are people that take chances on me every single day. So I got to put them on a pedestal, you know?
Hell yeah. I love that, man. Good for you. No, that's huge, man. You know, you show me a person, the four people that someone looks up to like that, man, and I'll tell you everything you need to know about them, dude. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I think there's some people that kind of can get like a, you know, a little finger painting on the side, like Tyson, you know, my buddy. He can be in the gift shop or something down the right. Like, I love him to death. like, sorry, buddy, you know, I'm not gonna put you over my wife. But no, but I love that. Yeah, I mean, when they say, man, like, you are who you surround yourself with, right?
I mean, hell yeah, man.
Amazing buddies that could go up there too, but you know,
my dad's also up on the rock, and for different reasons. I want to when I'm faced at a crossroads with something or don't know what to do, I look up at the rock and I see his face there, and I know I'm going the exact opposite way that he went, right? Yeah. He's not someone that you need to look up to. He's not someone that he's like, he's bipolar, he has his shit, right? Yeah, yeah. But like, it's not his fault, but it is his responsibility, and he takes none. Yeah, and
hard, dude.
You know, man, it's hard when you grow up thinking he's Superman, right? And then, you know, coming up, you're looking up to this guy, and then, you know, years down the line, you realize Superman's cape is full of holes, and it's tough. That's hard, man. I haven't talked to my dad in 4 years.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. Yeah, that is rough.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man, it's tough. But you know what, man, it's for the best.
If I can add anything to that, if I may, right? The cool thing is unfortunately, sometimes with like a situation like yours, you do learn a lot from people like that. Maybe not in the traditional sense, right? But now you have every chance in the world to do things different, right? And they say this is super cliche. They say that the way you raise your kids is like who you are today is who you would have felt the safest and most secure with as a kid, right? So because you know what you needed and you know what you lacked, so you have that drive deep within you to be that guy. So that's super. Hell yeah. It's super hard, and I feel for you there, but to have that self-awareness that takes to be able to express that, dude, is huge, because I know a lot of guys in the same situation.
That took a while. That took a long time. You know, I found myself in a deep, dark hole, back to the mental health thing. Right. And I didn't ask for help. I couldn't, I didn't know who to talk to, and I had to climb out of that alone. And mm-hmm. when I was down there, there was a mirror down there, and I didn't like what I saw, right? And it was tough.
Dude, one of the biggest things that that I tell some guys to do, and this is really hard, especially when you're kind of on the beginning stages or in even any stage, is when you're trying to change things in your life, trying to improve or whatever, take 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes is a long ass time. You can shorten it to maybe two or three if you need to. Stare yourself dead in the eyes in the mirror and tell yourself positive things about yourself and that you love yourself and that you are worth it. I know it sounds super soft and super weak, but like when you start believing that in yourself, there's this strength that comes with it. You're like, I am a badass. I am grinding every single day for the people that I love and for yourself. It's not always just about for everybody else. You got to take time for yourself, because if you're not taking time for yourself, all of those people are losing out on the best possible version of you at the same time.
Boom.
So you can't be the best dad in the world and the best father in the world, best friend or best brother in the world if you're just feeling like shit on the inside.
Yep. So, absolutely, brother.
Shut up, dude. But I riff on this stuff all day.
Man, we're going to talk again. We're going to do this again for sure.
Dude, we got to do a show with Tyson. I need to do all three of us, dude. Hell yeah.
I love that, man. I've seen his videos. I've listened to him talk with you. And dude, I want both of you on.
Yeah. He's such a good dude, man. Same thing. You got a problem with Tyson. You're probably the problem. He's such, I try to surround myself with super nice people because I used to be an asshole.
Well, buddy, thanks for coming on, man. And I really, really appreciate this. And we're going to do it again with Tyson.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Hell yeah, man. I can't wait.
Yeah. No, this has been super fun, man. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for being patient. That screen time, awesome. Yeah, that screen time has been kicking my ass. So,
yeah, I feel that.
So,
man, Logan, you stay frosty, brother.
I will. I like it. I see what you did there.